Hey everybody. So I'm trying to keep up with my weekly podcasting schedule. And I think I keep saying it, but I think the best way to do that is to keep these a little bit shorter if possible. But yeah, so for those of you who don't know me, my name's Chris Kowalczyk. I'm an ESL teacher, so I've been teaching English to non-native speakers of English since 2007. I think I got the job in June, yeah, when I moved to Japan. And so as of this recording, that's about 18 years now. Of course, I love teaching. I lived in Japan as well for about 6 years, and so I do talk a lot about my experiences living in Japan and learning Japanese, and the difficulties of that. And I try to use that as a way to connect with students. And I'm currently based in, well, where I grew up in the Los Angeles area. Now I'm in Orange County, but I'm right on the border with LA. And yeah, so I'm still teaching English to non-native speakers. I have the immigrant population. And this podcast is mostly for my current and former students, but if anyone else doesn't know me, that's who I am. So the topic today was performative learning versus actual learning. That's not the right term. I probably should have looked it up online, but what I consider performative learning and actual learning. So I want to talk about that a little bit, and it's something I always talk about with the students. So just kind of based on my experience learning languages, my mom is from Japan, so when I was a kid, we would go to Japan every summer for about a month. And then, as I mentioned, I lived in Japan for about 6 years. This was after high school, and so I lived in Japan three separate times, for a total of 6 years. I guess that's not really that important. But my point is, I think a lot of times when we're learning a language, but really kind of learning anything for school, where learning might not be the actual goal. Maybe we're just trying to get a credit, we're just trying to pass a course as part of our, degree program or something like that. I think a lot of times, we cram for a test, for example. The night before, we don't really study throughout the semester, and then we have the final exam. We spend all night studying, and then we pass the test, and then we might forget most of what we studied. A lot of times when we take a test, we're not really asked to demonstrate, I guess, the ability to apply that knowledge. We may just be checking a box, right? Multiple choice questions. It doesn't mean you didn't learn anything. Of course not. Of course, you're still learning something, or you're still demonstrating some knowledge, but I mean, multiple choice questions really aren't the best way to assess someone's ability to do something or their knowledge, right? It is a way, and it's not the best way, right? But of course, when you have multiple choice tests, it's very easy to administer those tests. You don't need to have interviews, you don't need to read essays, things like that. So, of course, for the school's perspective, it also makes a lot of sense. So, anyway, my point is, I think that's fine, book learning and taking multiple choice tests and doing a quiz on your phone. I think all of these are fine. A lot of you are using language learning apps on your phone, so you do a little quiz on your phone or something like that, right? And that's all fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but if that's the only way that you're learning or testing yourself, then that's really not enough, right? I think all of you who are listening probably studied English a lot. When you were in school, I mean, as a middle school or high school student, junior high, senior high, whatever. I know people in Japan study it for 6 years, mandatory, I don't know, an hour or two a day. And of course, most Japanese people really can't use English in a conversation. I mean, they may be able to read a little bit, maybe recognize some words, but I mean, they're not really able to communicate in English. And when I was teaching in Japan at the university, I mean, I was getting students directly from high school. So they had supposedly studied English for 6 years straight, and for the most part, they couldn't hold even a basic conversation. And I'm not saying that as a judgment of them themselves. I mean, it's the education system is not emphasizing communication much. And I understand, when you're a high school student taking English classes in Japan, I mean, when are you really going to use your English? Do you even care about using your English? I mean, that's okay. When I studied Spanish in high school for a couple years, I honestly don't think I really actually used Spanish in the class. I mean, again, it was mostly tests. some basic conversation stuff, but a lot of it was just repeating what we saw on the paper. And that's okay. I mean, it's just, I didn't really care about learning Spanish. I just had to take a course. It was mandatory. I got some basic Spanish. But I mean, again, it's like, are you really learning, right? Or how much are you learning, I should say. But that kind of brings me to the point of myself as a teacher, right? So I think a lot of times there's a comfort in performative learning or performative assessments like, hey, teacher, you know, I got this worksheet and I got 20 questions out of 20 questions correct. You know, I got a perfect score. And there's a feeling of, you know, accomplishment there. You feel good. I mean, I would feel good if I got a perfect score. But then the question is, okay, can we have a conversation? Are you able to write a letter or an email? Can you read a book and talk about it? Or not even a book, just can you read this document and explain it to me? And we usually see that's where the problems happen. And so I think as language learners, we have to be honest with ourselves about what our studying and our practice and our learning is for, right? So if you're going to use your app every day, let's say learning English on an app every day, and you're spending 30 minutes a day on it, and that's the only thing that you're doing to study English, you have to ask yourself, how much is my English communication ability really improving? And I didn't make any notes for today. It's pretty early in the morning. I just wanted to do this before I got too busy today on a Sunday morning. So, but that does bring me to my point, which I do talk a lot about. And if you've listened to me in the classroom or you've listened to this podcast for a while, you'll see that the same themes keep popping up. And one of them is just about English being, you know, it's a communication tool, right? English is not a subject that you study and then you pass a test and then you're finished, right? Well, I mean, for a lot of you when you were younger, that's probably the case, right? You just had to pass the test and then you didn't really care, maybe. And that's okay. I don't care. I mean, for me, Spanish was kind of like that. I just needed to take the course and then I was done. But when you're studying, you have to really ask yourself, is this helping me to communicate better? Now, reading is a form of communication in the sense that someone is communicating ideas to you. Communication is not just talking and writing. You know, when you're listening or reading something, somebody else is communicating to you. So we're going to just say that English is a language and language is a tool for communication. There are other ways to communicate. You can communicate using gestures, right? You can communicate with your body language. You can communicate with your facial expressions. Sometimes just your face will communicate love or fear or boredom or hate or confusion, right? So communication, you don't even need to, you can just draw a picture and that can communicate something. Symbols can communicate things, right? Arrows can communicate whether you should turn left or right. Colors can communicate. Red, stop. Green, go. We're talking about traffic signals. Yellow, slow down. Most people speed up when they see yellow, right? Or a lot of people do. I sometimes do. Depends on how close I am to the intersection. My point is, English is a language, and language is merely a tool for communication, and we have many different ways to communicate ideas. So if you're learning or you're studying or your practice or whatever, if it's not actually helping you communicate better or interact with other people in English better or understand the movie better, is that really helping you, right? Is that really the best use of your time and energy? I'm 41 years old. I feel okay. But, you know, over the last 2 years, I've really been thinking about how I spend my time. When I'm exercising, when I'm watching a movie, when I'm on my phone, right? Even when I'm sleeping, or not while I'm sleeping, but I think about how much time I sleep or take a break or whatever. And I'm always trying to think, is this the best use of my time, right? Did I really just spend 2 hours on a Sunday playing video games? Do I feel refreshed? Do I feel excited? Or did I feel like probably should have gone outside? Or maybe just sleep more, right? Maybe I don't need those 2 hours of video games. Maybe I can just sleep more. That's probably a better use of my time, especially in the evening, right? So I want you to think the same way about your language learning, right? Maybe you memorized 100 new vocabulary items this week. Okay, that's great. That feels good, right? did it help you? Is that helping you communicate better? Is that helping you understand other people better? Is that helping you understand movies better, right? And I think, I don't know, I wouldn't say a lot of times, but I would say often we're, and I do the same thing too, but we do things that we think are beneficial, but not really, right? I want to get back to the topic of exercise. So my students, I think most of my students know I have spinal injuries. So I've had them for almost 20 years now, since 2005, 2006. And so I'm constantly trying to maintain a kind of pain-free lifestyle. And I have to exercise every day. I have to stretch. Well, not every day, but I have to exercise. I have to stretch. I have to keep my stress down because that can affect my pain levels as well. And so when I am exercising, I have to really ask myself, are these exercises benefiting me? Because if I'm doing exercises every week that aren't actually helping my spine or my body, that might be a waste of time. And that might be something that's better or more efficient or more beneficial. So I kind of have to think about these things as well. And I try to think about these in other areas of my life. When I'm planning a lesson, for example, I have to think, okay, I spent 1 hour on this, preparing this activity. Is that really helpful for the students? Or is there something I can do that's shorter that I can prepare less but will have the same effect? Or did I put 90% of my energy into something that really only will have 10% of a result? This kind of idea of return on investment, right? Or are these activities helping the students communicate better? And that's kind of what I try to think about a lot as well. I mentioned it, I'm very honest about it. I try to focus on communication in the classroom, whether that's learning grammar, but why are we learning grammar? To express our ideas more clearly or accurately, right? Why are we learning pronunciation? We can't be perfect at pronunciation, but we can try to be as clear as possible, right? So what are the things that are most important to learn? What are the things that really don't matter too much in the big picture? And the same goes for grammar as well. There are some things in grammar in English that really aren't that important for communication. And so I'm kind of getting off track here, but maybe I should start wrapping it up as well. But getting back to that idea of performative versus actual learning, maybe think about something like martial arts or boxing or some kind of sport, right? So maybe by practicing, you're able to demonstrate, yeah, I can do this, right? I can do this punch. Look, it's great. You know, I can hit the baseball this way. That's great. But how about in a real competition, right? Is this helping you in the real competition? You see a lot of boxers or fighters, for example, you know, they have these videos where they do this like 20 punch combination. It looks really great, right? But it's on the heavy bag and there's no stress, right? It's not a real fight. And you also have to ask yourself, is that 20 punch combination really realistic for a fight? You know, yeah, not a real fight, but I mean like a competition, like a match. So are you spending all of your time on these exercises and these drills and these, you know, practicing these boxing combinations that might not actually help you when you're in the real competition, right? So again, kind of have to think about those things. And I think if you have this idea in your mind, you can maybe see that in a lot of other areas in your life. You know, a lot of times we study different other subjects as well. We might study business. We might study art. We might study, I don't know, other things. And we may feel like, yeah, I got this. I really understand this. And you do all this practice and you do the reviews and you do the quizzes. And then you find that when it comes to that real situation, whatever you learned wasn't that helpful. Or maybe you needed to practice under more stressful situations, or you needed to learn how to apply that knowledge as well. So I'm kind of going all over the place here. But something that was on my whiteboard for a while and I wanted to bring it up, performative learning and actual learning. Maybe I can say one more thing is something related to work in general. So a lot of times, for example, people will do things at work that look like they're, you know, staying busy, right? Or they look like they're being effective. So they'll create this plan and the plan sounds great, right? And it sounds like there's going to be all these changes that are going to improve things in the office, for example. But then in reality, it doesn't really change anything, right? And so performative, right? Performative help. Sometimes people will look like they're helping you. I'm getting a little off topic here. Maybe it's not, I'm not being so clear. A lot of times people will apologize, right? And then not follow up. That's performative, right? They're saying they're sorry. They're appearing to be sorry, but their actions don't actually show that. Performative in terms of changing, right? Some people will appear to change their lifestyle for the better, but they haven't made those meaningful changes, right? Somebody will say, I'm here to help, but they don't actually find out what's wrong, right? And they don't ask you every day, for example. They may ask once a year. That's performative. So again, getting a little off topic, but I just wanted you to think about that idea of performative learning versus actual learning, performative help versus actual help, performative change versus actual change. And I think if you look at your life, you're going to see these things crop up a lot. And I think we just have to be honest with ourselves. When are we being performative in our lives? And when are we actually doing the things that we say that we're doing, or we're actually doing things that make for meaningful change or have meaningful effects and so on? Think of government. Maybe that's the best way to think about it. Think of a lot of government announcements and speeches and programs, and how much of that is performative? Hey, looks like we're doing something effective. And then does it actually change anything? Does it actually have a real benefit? Does it actually feel sincere? And so kind of just keep that idea in mind. But yeah, let's wrap it up, tie it back to the beginning. Performative learning versus actual learning. Is the time and energy you're spending on the textbook or practice or individual review or taking quizzes or using the app on your phone for learning, do you think that's actually helping you communicate better in English, reading or writing or listening or whatever? Or does it just feel like an accomplishment? I did it. But over time, are you actually seeing any change? So just something to think about. Sometimes just learning a language is fun by itself, and that's perfectly fine. Sometimes we don't really need to constantly improve. I mean, sometimes it's just interesting to learn, and that's okay too, right? There's a lot of things where I just enjoy watching a documentary about something or reading about something, and I don't really need to demonstrate knowledge. I don't need to, you know, become a history professor, but I really like reading about it or watching documentaries about history. So, you know, that's okay too. That's perfectly fine. Learning English just to enjoy it and for the social aspect and to keep your brain active, that's perfectly fine too. But I know for a lot of you, you do feel frustrated, because I hear it all the time, is that you're studying and spending all this time in class and practicing and doing homework, and you don't feel like your English is improving that much when it matters during communication or when watching a movie or at your job or when talking with, you know, the teacher or whatever. So just kind of keep all these things in mind. It's a constant theme of mine, is just being honest with yourself. It's hard to be honest with yourself, but I think if you're going to spend a lot of time and energy on something, you know, you probably should be at least a little bit honest with yourself about how you're spending that time and energy. I'm going to cut it off here. I've made it to under 20 minutes. If you're listening on YouTube, definitely leave a comment, a question, or any suggestions for future topics. And I'll try to keep this weekly again.